the beautiful season of Advent is a time of preparation, as we know. Perhaps people think of preparation in the more external sense, decorations and gifts and songs and parties and whatnot. The liturgy helps us prepare by giving us figures, people, to journey with us, to instruct us. We have been journeying with Isaiah through this whole season. He's one of the key Advent figures. Yesterday we were surprised to hear about the newly proclaimed year of Saint Joseph. So that sets Joseph before us as an Advent figure. We would have seen him next week anyway, of course. And Joseph is certainly an Advent figure. But Pope Francis's declaration set Joseph before our eyes a little sooner than we expected. Today we have the feast of Our Lady of Loreto. Of course, Mary is an Advent figure. She's the most important of all. We haven't had much mention of her in the liturgy other than the big feast day we had on Tuesday, the Immaculate Conception. But of course we know Mary is the final step in preparing for the coming of the Savior. But today, this feast of Our Lady of Loreto is also a little bit of a surprise. It has always been on December 10th, but it hasn't always been in the Church's universal calendar. But recently Pope Francis said, let's put this feast day on the calendar, give it more prominence, as if to say, let's put Mary's home life in a more prominent place. Let's ponder more who this woman is. I said at the beginning that we'll be praying the Litany of Our Lady of Loreto. The Litany is a series of invocations. It's a kind of pondering of who Mary is. If you go to the Holy House in Loreto, it's a very simple stone building. There's nothing to it. But people who go there, and people have gone there for centuries, it's in Italy, find it a place where they can reflect on Mary. They can reflect on the combination of her obscurity, her humility, and her greatness. So the litany arose out of the devotion to Mary in that shrine, and it reflects on Mary, Virgin of Virgins, Queen of Virgins, a Tower of Ivory, House of Gold, and all these very grand titles, but it's prayed in the context of a very simple little building. So Mary is one of the Advent figures, and she shows us how to be both humble and great. Another important Advent figure is the subject of today's Gospel, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who also presents to us this combination of littleness and greatness, of humility and prominence. And Jesus himself makes this combination clear. He says, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. How much higher praise can you give to a person? He's the greatest man ever born. And then in the very next breath, he says, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. As if to say, John is really nobody. Which is what John himself said of himself. I'm not even worthy to unfasten the sandal on the strap on the sandal of the Messiah. Don't look at me. I'm nobody compared to the one who is to come. So John's greatness, and he is great, he's a great figure, his greatness is all poured out in service of one who is even greater, Jesus. John then well, all the saints, but since John is the subject of today's gospel, John teaches us our own littleness and our own greatness. Littleness, because who are we before God? Who are we to have any claim to be a servant of God or have anything to do that would be of any benefit to God? We're not worthy to unfasten the strap of anybody's sandal, Jesus or anyone else. We're simply recipients of grace, but we haven't done anything. The poverty of spirit that Mary teaches us, that our own ongoing spirituality teaches us, should keep reminding us of our nothingness. That's John the Baptist's spirit, nothingness. It's Mary's spirit. She's a lowly handmaid. And yet, God's plan is for us to be great. God comes into the world not only to reveal his own greatness, but to share it with us. John knew this. John knew that his great mission was connected to, was inseparable from the mission of the one to come, Jesus. He knew that he was standing at the threshold of something extraordinary. And it was his privilege. He leapt for joy to be at the service of the Lord. Mary, too, in the very same breath where she says, I'm a lowly handmaid, she says, all generations will call me blessed. I'm little and nothing, and yet I'm great, because God has done great things for me. But this is an Advent instruction for all of us. Littleness, humility, we are not that important, we're not that significant, we're not someone to put all the focus on. We should get ourselves out of the way, let ourselves be the servants whom we're called to be. And in that movement of emptying ourselves, of setting aside our pride and all our grandiose ideas of ourselves, that's where we become truly great. This was brought out on Tuesday, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, in that beautiful second reading where St. Paul says to the Ephesians, we have been chosen to be holy and spotless. We have been chosen to proclaim and to be a part of the glory of God for all eternity. God loves to raise up nobodies. He loves to use people who are nothing. He loves people like John the Baptist, or Joseph, or the Blessed Virgin Mary. People who lived in obscurity and humility, that nobody paid any attention to them. God loves these people because he can draw them into the greatness of his plan. This is what he's trying to do for us, and this is an Advent instruction for us, to be little, to recognize our natural littleness and our supernatural greatness.